The Cap of J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say
shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say
got no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. You're going to bet the Breeders' Cup next Friday and Saturday like I am. Make sure you download that Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. And you can bet the ponies. And you can even hear the little secretariat sound effect in your head as you get ready to try and win some cash. If you want to bet sports, points bet sportsbook. We say good morning to the snorling man, Shay Norling.
Good morning, boys. Connor, good to talk to you again. How are you this morning?
Shay, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course, buddy. Cap, how are we doing?
Good to go, kid.
Ready for the football weekend? What?
By the way, Mad Hatter just tweeted at us, said, Eli meets zero criteria for the Hall of Fame. Never a top five quarterback in any season he played in 16 years. It's actually a ridiculous argument. He might get in only because his last name is Manning. He's right.
Thank you, Mad Hatter. Let's get into shot or no shot. I want to start with the Bears defense.
Now do Bradshaw's numbers. Sorry, Shay. Just to go to Bradshaw's numbers.
I mean, he was awful sometimes.
He was.
Look at him. He's really bad. He's really bad sometimes. Yeah,
he
all right,
won
I'm sorry.
Five Super Bowls.
Right, he's one of three quarterbacks to win more than four Super Bowls. So, all right.
No doubt about it. Super Bowls matter.
I have a question about the Bears' defense. Defensive coordinator Alan Williams said it won't just be business as usual without Robert Quinn. He said Quinn's contributions didn't always show up on the stat sheet, but he was certainly making an impact on this defense. And he added that it will be up to some of Bears' young players to, quote, fill the void. So my question, shot or no shot, Trevis Gibson can fill the void left by Robert Quinn?
Robert Quinn has one sack. So are we talking about the void of production this year? That's a shot, yeah. If we're talking about the leadership and you saw how emotional Roquan Smith was, if you didn't, we played the audio the other day. I suggest you go back on the pod and listen to it because he was exceptionally emotional on what he meant to the room and to him. So, no, he cannot fill the leadership void. The productivity void, yeah, that's a shot.
I think they can, too, from a production standpoint. I mean, Quinn had an amazing year last year, 18 sacks, right? I mean, that's a Bears, 18 and a half, I think, right? That's his single season record for the Chicago Bears.
Correct.
I think this kind of skews a little bit what they were trying to get done with the Robert Quinn trade, though, right? Like, I think you got everything you could out of Robert Quinn. You had him there for that leadership role in camp. You had him there for a couple of weeks. Now you get to get, you know, some of the younger guys in more snaps against the Cowboys and every week going forward. They need to be able to fill that void because Quinn wasn't coming back next season, and I don't know how veteran of a guy they're going to sign in the offseason to go rush the passer either because this is, you know, as Ryan Poles has told you, this is pretty much a full rebuild, if not for it, with the exception of Justin Fields.
Yeah, they have a couple of nice players on the offensive side. David Montgomery's a nice player. He's not, oh my God, Walter Payton came back. He's a nice player. Khalil Herbert's right. A nice player. They're very replaceable players. Wide receiver room, Darnell Mooney's a really nice three on a good team. A nice three. He's not a one. He's not a two. I mean, just look last night. Take the Buccaneers. They lost last night. Is he a one on that team? No. That's Mike Evans. He had 120-some yards. Is he a two? Yeah. No. That's Chris Godwin. His name's Chris Godwin. He plays for Tampa. Is he their third best receiver? Maybe.
Probably because of injury. I mean, Breshad Perriman, they're running
Russell
some...
Russell Gage.
What's the tight end?
Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller.
They've got that rookie tight end now, too. I can't think
of him. Barrington's own.
Can't remember his name, but he was got a lot of targets last night.
Yeah,
had a lot of
Cameron
drops.
Cameron Brate is out. So, yeah, he's a really nice player, and I'm glad we have him. He's not a one or a two. Shay.
All right, I want to stick with the defense. Jaquan Brisker was the defensive star of the game on Monday night for the Bears. He improved his season totals to 42 tackles, and he finally got his first interception with an impressive leaping one-handed snag on a floater from Mac Jones. ESPN has denied that that ball hit the sky cam and offered an alternate angle that made it look like it really didn't. So that was all Jaquan Brisker on that interception. He will presumably match up with CeeDee Lamb this Sunday in Dallas. My question, shot or no shot, Jaquan Brisker is an all-pro defensive back in the making.
Yeah, that's a shot. Not this year, maybe not next year, but what is he, 22 years of age? Yeah, when that kid's 25, 26, if the good Lord blesses him with good health, yeah, he has a definite shot at being an all-pro. I loved him the first time I went to training camp. You know, I texted you guys from training camp and said, this guy walked by me, and I went, what linebacker is that? And they said, that's Jaquan Brisker. Oh, my God. And then watched him blow up one of the running backs in a drill. I mean, crush him. You could hear it. I want that guy. He's a stud.
Yeah, I think there's a shot. Good Lord, like you said, the good Lord blesses him with health, and if Ryan Poles blesses him with a pass rush that's a little bit better than what the Bears have had, that pass rush helps defensive backs, man. That kind of pressure on quarterbacks make you throw the ball a little faster, makes those picks happen a little quicker. Yeah, sure, why not? That's where that pick needs to be for Ryan Poles and the rest of the Bears organization, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I like him. I think he's got talent.
Shay.
All right, Thursday Night Football saw a bit of sad history last night. Tom Brady lost three consecutive games for the first time ever. The Bucs fell to 3-5, and once again, the offense looked anemic outside of garbage time. So my question, a little facetious maybe, shot or no shot, the 3-4 Bears are actually better than this version of Tampa Bay?
That's no shot. Stop. They're not better than the Tampa Bay
Bucs. You had to think about it for a second, didn't you?
No, because the question was so bizarre and out there that I was wondering what you were doing about 2 o'clock this morning. No, they are not better than the Tampa Bay Bucs. Tampa Bay has more turmoil than we do. We are what we are. But no, they're not better than the Bucs. Connor.
No, of course they're not. Of course they're not. They absolutely can't be. But by your math, Cap, Justin Fields has 3 wins and so does Tom Brady. So they're the same quarterback. They're the same guy this year.
Yeah, but as a team, no. I can name you right off the top of my head a handful of guys that, oh, my God, they're light years better than anything we have. Whether that's Levante David or Vita Vea or Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. So, yeah. No.
No, I mean, you just did I'm just taking a cheap shot. You did the rosters, right? I mean, like, it takes a while you're going down the Bears roster to get to a starter for the Buccaneers, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Shay.
All right, sticking with Thursday Night Football, it was once again marred on social media. The first half saw just 13 points, and overall it was another kind of subpar football game on display in primetime. Amazon Prime has seen their ratings on the broadcast plummet as the weeks go on. It started at 13 million for Chargers and Chiefs in week 2. It's down to just 7.8 million for the week 7 matchup with the Cardinals and Saints per Nielsen. So my question, shot or no shot, Thursday Night Football is the worst live product in sports?
No shot. It's still the NFL. It's like pizza. I prefer Malnati's, but there's not bad pizza. No shot. Worst live product.
I don't know, Cap. I've had some press box pizzas that get really close to bad.
Yeah,
that, I think you're
that'll
right.
happen. But it's still
yeah,
pizza.
Yeah, it will happen.
Still pizza.
If you've ever been down to Texas for a Rangers game, do not snag a pizza. It is gonna redefine what you think about the world of pizza, and it is gonna cost you a handful of time in the press box bathroom to get rid of that whole thing. It is it's a process.
Not good.
I think though, I don't know, Thursday night, I'm still gonna watch it. I watched last night. It was on. It
I
was
did
there.
I, so did I.
I can't say though, like, you guys, it's the job, right? I mean, we watch these things as part of the job. But there's a handful of games every week that you just kind of like fade to the background and go, okay, well, this is the afternoon game, or this is the Thursday night game, or I can spend a little extra time making dinner, half pay attention to it. And it's always that Thursday night game, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, is it the best? Is it Bills Chiefs? No, it's still the NFL.
I'm at a point, though, where I could do away with it. I would not miss Thursday night football if the NFL evaporated it and went totally on Sundays.
I would. I like coming home last time. My wife was at a business dinner, and I'm on the couch. I'm watching the game. Yeah, it's NFL football. Count me.
I'll say this, too. I've really enjoyed the broadcast. I think Al and Kirk Herbstreit are really good together. I've enjoyed it. I think what really speaks to it, too, is Herbstreit has had to, you know, because of the quality of these games, he's really had to go deep for analysis, and he's done it. You know, like I think he's been really good, a value add on those broadcasts. Maybe I'm biased because I've grown up liking Kirk Herbstreit and what he's been able to do and with his television career. But I enjoy the broadcast while the product is bad. And I think that says something too about the NFL and the people they're able to bring to bear on a broadcast like that.
Shay.
All right, the World Series is going to start tonight. The Astros will host Kyle Schwarber, Beer League softball player, and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Astros, of course, won the title in 2017. That was marred by the biggest cheating scandal in baseball history.
And should have had the trophy stripped, and Rob Manfred screwed that up.
So, shot or no shot, a cleanly won title for the Astros with this team would actually legitimize the win in 2017.
No, nothing will legitimize the win in 17. Nothing will ever legitimize what they did. They cheated to win that championship. This is a really good team. I want their manager to win, so I'm rooting for him because I love Dusty. But the 2017 team, I don't care if they win the next 70 in a row. It doesn't matter. That team was crooked, dirty, and those guys that won that ring actually didn't.
I'm with you on Dusty. Long live Dusty Baker. That I hope he gets his World Series. It's tough for me to. I like Rob Ford, and I like the whole broadcast team is fun, and they're great to have in the ballpark when the Astros are in town. And it's weird when you play the Astros because you get a whole broadcast crew in that you really like to hang out with before the game, and then the game starts, and you're like, oh God, it's the Astros. Nobody likes this. And then you go in, you do it the next day, and you have a lot of fun, and then you get to the game. I'm all for Dusty winning a title. No way does it validate 2017. Like, there's just no way. But I promise you one thing, Cap and Shay. Do you know who's going to go around all offseason, regardless of what team he signs a $350 million contract with, and tell you that this actually validates a 2017 World Series? That's Carlos Correa. That man's going to be out there with this hot take. So just get ready for it. Just gird yourselves for what that's going to sound like and what it's going to look like.
Future Cub.
Maybe.
They're not going to go down. I don't think they're not giving anybody an 8-year deal, and that's what he's looking for. And I wouldn't give anyone an 8-year deal that has an injury history like he does. Would you, Connor?
I think I might. It depends on how the contract is structured. I don't know, it's getting really into the weeds, but like, you know, if we're talking about deferred money, if we're talking about player opt-outs, if we're doing all that kind of thing, yeah, I can't just say no 8-year deal regardless and no matter what. Carlos Correa is a really good player, even if he is kind of insufferable at times. And I'd like to have him as a shortstop on my squad. I'd be all about it.
Yeah, I'd rather have Trey Turner.
2 years older.
Correct. Doesn't have the injury history. Steals bags for me. Yeah, I'd go that. Now, again, if I have to give Trey Turner an 8-year deal, no,
yeah.
I'm out.
Well, but that's – so it's interesting you mentioned it. And I know we're talking football and stuff, but, like, yes, Turner takes a lot of bases. Everybody's going to steal a lot of bases in the new Major League Baseball. Like, everybody's going to take a lot of bases. I think it's going to be really interesting to see that value spike for guys even like Carlos Correa, who's got enough speed to go ahead and take second base when you can only throw over twice and you got to get him on the third try.
Yeah, his injury history, and I like him as a player. Don't get me wrong. You know, if the Cubs sign him and they get him, that's their money, not mine. I'm not the one paying him. I'd love to see him in a Cubs uniform. That said, if I was making the signing myself, 5 years with Trey Turner, for me, better value than 8 for Correa. Shay, we got to take a timeout. 312-332-3776. The picks segment. Snorling picks a bunch of games. We then give you our predictions. That is next.
Captain Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Every week, and then we make our selections against the spread. He's a football maniac who now wants to get rid of Thursday night football so he can watch, Coastal Carolina play at Washington State.
Utah was at Wazoo last night. When games are in the Palouse, I want it on my TV.
Vatek NC State was crazy last night.
It's funny, college football, I'll watch some tomorrow. But if you ask me to power rank, you and I did this on a private text chain. We didn't do it the whole group. Rank the sports in order of my love. College football is like fourth or fifth.
You don't know what you're missing, man.
I like it. I'm not saying I hate it. Down the list, baseball. I love baseball. I know Connor's with me. And by the way,
it's on top of the list, baby. Love college football, though. I love throwing on game day in the morning, the pomp, the circumstance, the mascot heads.
I love game day. Game day's a great show. Love game day. And it's fun. I'm not saying I dislike it, but NFL better than college, baseball better than college football. Yes, definitely. Definitely. And by the way, there's this long haired dude that works upstairs that I report to, he's my manager. He is the director of content. He's so anti-Dusty that it's insane. Dusty Baker really is a Hall of Famer by any measure.
Let's do the picks. We'll get to our World Series conversation in about 10 minutes.
I can't wait. I hope Dusty gets in the Hall of Fame and then says, I'd like to start this by saying, Danny Zetterman in Chicago. Sylvie, take that. Now let's go.
It's just Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech.
A lot of games to get to. Let's rock and roll. I want to do the records quickly. In the lead is the other producer position today filled by Charlie. In second is Cap. In third is Shay. And pulling up the rear, Shay, me, and pulling up the rear is Hoodie. Connor picking for Hoodie today.
That's so hilarious. Hoodie's in last and he's the football. We have a segment where he gives his best stuff.
All right, let's get started. Hoodie. Number 19, Kentucky at number 3, Tennessee. Tennessee laying 12 in Knoxville. I don't think they can cover a big number. They've got Georgia on deck. They're already looking ahead. Give me Kentucky to go in and cover.
Connor, go ahead.
My brother-in-law went to Kentucky. Give me Kentucky to cover. That's how I'm going to rationalize all these picks, boys. Hang on. I'm making a run for first. My brother-in-law went to Kentucky. Give me the Cats.
I'm going Tennessee. Let's go Vols! I actually have a Tennessee football jersey in my car right now. With the last name on it. It's a 16 jersey. Bright orange, white letters, white numbers. It says Manning on the back. Not Eli. Danny, take that. Go ahead.
I'm going Kentucky here to cover the 12 points. 12 is just a lot against a Mark Stoops coach team. There's also a look-ahead spot for Kentucky. They got Georgia next week. I'm going to take Kentucky to cover.
All right, number 2, Ohio State, laying 15.5 in Happy Valley, taking on number 15, Penn State. Ohio State, to me, is just a way better football team. Give me the Buckeyes.
Connor?
Is the two least favorite teams in the Big Ten, both fan bases, are just absolute. It's bad. I don't like either of them very much. on Wisconsin. Wisconsin, no, I'll take Ohio State to cover the 15.5. I'm right. I'm with you.
Penn State, they are a good team, not a great team. Ohio State is a great team. 15.5, is that the number?
That is.
Too many points. Give me Penn State.
Yeah, I agree. Penn State always plays Ohio State tough. I think that they're just not as bad as what they showed against Michigan. I'm going to take Penn State at home to cover 15.5.
If it were a night game and a whiteout, I would have gone Penn State. But noon kick, Fox big noon kickoff, I'm taking the Buckeyes. Michigan State at Michigan, the rivalry. Michigan, a 23-point favorite. Historically, these games are close. It's hatred. Weird stuff happens. God have mercy on my soul. Give me the Spartans.
Is this a Saturday night game?
6:30 Central
Time.
I'm
going to be up in Wisconsin. I'm going to be locked in on the couch. Locked in. Go ahead, Connor.
Michigan State to win. This is where you make the ground up, baby. This is where roll Sparty. This is where it all happens. Every year, this happens to Michigan. Every year, there's that one game. Every year, we look at Harbaugh and say, ah, buddy, what are you doing? Why is Ann Arbor on fire? Michigan State wins outright.
Okay. Connor, I have great admiration and respect for a lot of your sports acumen. Little too geeky at times with the analytic stuff. I've told you that. Couple movie reviews really sucked, but other than that, I'm a huge Connor McKnight guy. We've worked at multiple places together.
That we have.
My analytics site says Michigan is a 94.7% chance of covering the spread. I ain't going against those analytics. Give me the Wolverines in an absolute beatdown. I'm laying the point.
I'm with you, Cap. Michigan State's capital B bad. I'm just going Michigan at home in Ann Arbor.
Snorling has a degree from there is embarrassing.
The shield. Broncos at Jaguars. The Jags 2.5-point favorites. I can't bet on Russell Wilson after he did high knees on the plane to London. Give me Jacksonville.
Yeah, can I pass? Is there a pass option? Is there a I don't want to watch this? I guess give me the Jags to cover 2.5 at home. That feels right. I feel bad for Russ, you know, just because the hustle gods have taken him over and they're playing puppeteer with him on that plane. You're right, Shay. That's not a thing that's not okay. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that on a plane to anywhere. Nothing of this. Oh, God. London. How long is that flight? Cap, you've probably done it on the Concorde, right?
Yeah. I've not done it on the Concorde. I did it on a Cessna. It took a while, but...
You did it on a Cessna?
No, I did it on American Airlines or United, one of them. So you went which way?
Jags.
You took the Jags?
Sure.
I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence. I'm taking the Jaguars. Rock and roll!
I'm going to go back to my favorite hobby, which is betting against Russell Wilson. Give me the Jags here.
All right, squeeze for time. Let's rock and roll, boys. Patriots, 2.5-point favorites at the Jets. I know everybody's down on the Patriots. It's a massive overreaction. I'm on the Patriots this weekend.
Yeah, and they'll cover, too. And they'll cover the 2.5 against the Jets.
Yep, I'm all in. Patriots, it's a week-to-week league. Don't overreact. Give me the Patriots.
4-for-4. Belichick's not losing 2 in a row, especially 1 to the Jets.
Steelers at Eagles. Philly, a 10.5-point favorite. I just can't buy this Steelers team. I know Tomlin's great as a dog, but the Eagles are dominant, especially in the first half. That defense is great. Give me the Birds.
I would take the Eagles if it were 20.5.
Wow. They've got a secret weapon, the Steelers. His name is Mitchell Trubisky. He comes off the bench. He rallies the troops. He puts up points. He finds a way. He ain't getting off the bench this week. Eagles got juice. They got Robert Quinn in that locker room. They went, our management's all in. We just took on a ton of salary for the 23 and 24 seasons. They're all about us winning. Give me the Eagles. They win it by 17.
It's a lot of points against Mike Tomlin. I'm going to go ahead and take the Steelers to cover, even though I don't love it.
G-men at Seahawks. The Seahawks, a 3-point favorite behind resuscitated quarterback Geno Smith. I'm taking the Seahawks.
I think I'm Team Giants the rest of the way. I think I'm going to get weird. I think I'm going to start betting on the Giants because everyone else seems to hate them.
Okay, The Seahawks, everyone said in the preseason, they're the worst team in the NFL, Cap. They're not. They're actually very well coached. They're a decent, not awesome, decent football team. The Giants' run comes to an end for a week. It's this week. Give me the Seahawks.
I was one of those people saying that about the Seahawks, but I've been proven wrong thus far. Give me the Seahawks this week.
Packers at Bills, Sunday night football in Western New York. The Packers, a 10.5-point dog. Aaron Rodgers getting 10.5. I hate it, but I got to do it. Give me the Pack.
I told you earlier that I would take the Eagles if they were 20.5-point favorites. I would take the Bills if they were 30.5-point. Okay, not really 30.5, but Bills. Bills, Bills, Bills. And I will taste the tears of Aaron Rodgers' sadness.
There are a ton of injuries to that Buffalo team. Yes, they're a great team. Ton of injuries. Absolutely. Give me the Packers and the 10.5. Take that.
Bills are rolling. Packers are reeling. I'm taking the Bills.
49ers, 1.5-point favorites in Los Angeles. You don't get home field advantage when you're the Rams. Whose house? 49ers' house. Gimme Jimmy G.
Gotta go the other way. I'm gonna take the Rams, and I don't like it.
Oof. You know what? Against my better judgment, I'm siding with CM McKnight. Gimme the Rams.
The Rams are secretly kind of a mess right now, and the 49ers, Sean McVay is 4-8 against Kyle Shanahan. I'm going to go San Francisco here.
All right, final game of our slate. Bears in Dallas taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys a 9.5-point favorite. Priority number one, Justin Fields, get out of that building with your life intact. I'm taking the Cowboys -9.5.
Yeah, I would do the same, and I want Justin Fields breathing by the end of it. That's the only joy here.
Yeah, I think this game will hover right around 10. I don't think this is like, 37-7, like the Bears lost to the Cowboys in the playoffs in 1977. I think they'll battle, they'll compete, they will fall short. Holding my nose, give me the Cowboys.
I'm kind of worried this is going to be a disaster for the Bears, so I'm going to take the Cowboys here.
All right. There are all of the picks. World Series starts tonight. We will preview it with the King of Analytics, Connor McKnight, next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Waddle's favorite song right there. It is the Friday Folder where we get the stuff we just didn't have time to do. Usually Hoodie's talking so much that we can't get to all of the stuff that we have on our list. So that's why we created the Friday Folder. Here's Snorley.
All right, I want to start with the news that just broke. I had this scheduled here anyway because it was reported late last night that Giselle had issued Tom Brady an ultimatum. If you keep playing football, I'm gone for good. Well, about 20 minutes ago, some news broke that the couple is filing for divorce.
No, no, no. Not filing. It's final. They filed a long time ago. It's final.
No, no. The headline right now is they will file for divorce today. They were separated. They're filing for divorce today. They hired attorneys a few weeks ago.
What I'm reading is that they have agreed and that the final papers will be filed today. They have hammered out both property settlement and custody and have come to terms. The divorce, they've reached a settlement ending their marriage. The divorce documents will formally be filed, ending the marriage, period. They're
so
done.
The question for me
is... last night's ultimatum was BS.
The question for me is not about the Brady Giselle divorce. It's not about, obviously what's happening in his personal life is what's happening in his personal life. I'm setting that aside. When you talk about what we saw on the field last night and what we've seen this season from Brady, is there some joy to be had in his downfall?
Absolutely not. I didn't like him when he was with New England because I don't like New England. And I looked at them as the evil empire. When he got to Tampa and started showing his fun side and all of it, yeah, I'm saddened for him as someone who's gone through that process. It's no fun for either side. And I'm sad to see them on the outs, but that's his personal business. So no, there's no joy in seeing him struggle.
I think as an older millennial, right? I watched all of the Manning Brady battles, right? I mean that's the quarterback matchup that defined my generation of NFL fandom, right? I mean nothing was bigger than Manning and Brady, right? That was it. I'm ready for a changing of the guard in a very real way. You know, whether it's Herbert or Mahomes or Allen or anything like that. I'm ready for it. I enjoy that. I find this really tough to get any. I would probably be in a different place if I didn't know that the guy was, you know, that he and his wife were filing for divorce. Like, I feel bad. I'm not rooting for that in any way. That just kind of sucks. So it's all gone. All that joy is gone. I'm not rooting for marriages to break up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the personal life stuff, I don't want to get into. I am finding,
of course.
I am finding a little bit of joy in watching him flounder on the field. And he, as a Patriots fan, he was my favorite athlete of all time. But seeing Mr. Perfect look like he does right now, I am finding a little bit of joy in that.
Yeah, I don't know why you would. I don't know why people want to see other people fail, but I guess that's the pathetic side of our society. Shay.
All right, I want to ask about a guy who's nicknamed the world's dirtiest man. He's an Iranian hermit. He had not taken a shower for more than 60 years. He took his first wash in 60 years at the behest of people in his community because they said it was getting in the way of him having friends, and they wanted him to be more social in the community. He was 94 years old, so they gave him a wash. Immediately after the shower, he fell ill, and he passed away.
Oh, my God!
Like that's what? Horrific.
Those are bad friends. What are you doing? He was an actual hermit. Like he was choosing to be a hermit. And they were like, no, your life choices aren't cool with us. You need to shower and have friends. And then he died. That's a bad town. That's a tough place to live.
I think that. Look, it wasn't that they were asking him to do something so outrageous. They're asking him to take a shower.
So
no, they were asking him to stop being a hermit. They wanted him to have friends.
So in his life, there was a Times report in 2014 that he would eat roadkill and he smoked a pipe filled with animal excrement. And his belief was that cleanliness would make him ill and kill him. I guess he was right.
He was 94, too.
I like being right more than maybe anything else in the world. That is a tough way to win.
Yeah. Plus, he is 94. When you smoke animal excrement and you eat roadkill, I guess your body is at some point going to reject it.
Yeah, but at 94, you'd have thought it'd be like 49. If that was the guy's lifestyle, he was defying all odds. Or maybe it was making him stronger, better, faster.
That's pretty amazing. 60 years without a shower. I take like two a day minimum. Like, this dude didn't shower once in 60.
You got to up your roadkill eating.
You got to smoke more pipes with animal excrement in them.
That's right. Don't find that lady with a half taxidermied fox.
Jeez.
I mean, this guy was doing it. He lived to 94. That's pretty good.
He might have found the secret.
God bless him.
He wins.
Check.
All right, a 42-year-old man has over 4 million likes on TikTok. He went 314 days. Every single day he would post to TikTok, and he would pose as a dead body. This got him a job on CSI Vegas as a corpse.
Where is he posing? In public places? Like different spots?
He said he was trying to perfect his art. He was looking to make it more authentic every time he posted. He wanted to be the most authentic acting dead body. And it ultimately got him a job as a corpse on CSI Vegas.
Was it gruesome? What that pays. Is he like doing the gore and stuff, or is he just laying out somewhere?
So right. the photos in the article, I have to find the TikToks. The photo in this article are from the CSI Vegas, and it is gruesome. It's like the makeup doing the autopsy where he's been opened up and resealed.
So, but he's not like on his TikToks, he's not just like bringing back planking, right? Like he's doing a little bit more than just laying down in
right.
places.
Right, like he has gore coming out of him, I assume.
Like you got to figure. Otherwise, you know, listen, there's hundreds of guys out there just laying down in places hoping to get on CSI, right? I mean, you got to do something to stand out.
He said, so rather than laying face down, I kind of turned over on my side and played dead. He did this on a sidewalk. So he was like basically playing possum all over the world to try and look dead. And then his final quote in this article, I thought if I was creative enough playing an unalive person, I could get the attention of a television show or a movie production company. And how about that? It worked.
I had no idea that's something you could be creative in doing.
Right.
That's my thought. Like 314 days, there's only so many ways that you can act dead.
I actually did not know that the bodies on that show were actually real people. I just thought they were mannequins.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, listen, bit players make their lives playing dead bodies on CSI, right? I mean, listen, it's craft services. You get the whole meal. It's probably rent for a week, right? It's a big deal.
Yeah, I never would have guessed that could be a job. But he's good at it. Shay.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's quite good at it. This ends on kind of a sad note, but it's relevant to our industry, and I believe this is Cap's worst nightmare. A radio host who does a morning show in the United Kingdom passed away on the air.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Wait. Was he doing his show at the time? Were they at break?
I read the article earlier. They had to cut mid-song. They just shut the show off because they said he had a heart attack, and he passed away on the air during his show.
Oh, no.
That's awful.
That's
truly awful.
Like, are you, Cap, you know how people say, oh, he died doing what he loves? You know the phrase?
Yeah.
The tweet that the station put out said he died doing what he loved.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, I don't want to die behind the mic. I don't. Like, I don't want to be only remembered as, yeah, that guy died doing what I want to. If that moment comes, I'd rather my family's with me. Or, I mean, in my sleep.
I have to read this. Someone in our Twitch chat, Carmen Carcino, said, talk about a heart out.
No.
Wow.
Hit the post.
Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's awful. That is an awful way. He meant, I'm just telling you.
Bam. It says he died while presenting his daily segment on the air. Imagine during a soda read, like Cap just hits the keyboard.
Yeah, like imagine me just ranting about something.
Are your final words going to be take that?
Take that. Boom. Cap?
That's a mic drop, Cap.
That would be.
That's a mic drop.
Could you imagine a worse place to die than at work? That's got to be the worst.
There's far worse.
Well, sure, but like you can't do for like the, you know, like the shipwrecks or fire, you know, just like of natural causes, you know, more or less, right? You're going at work.
Connor, I asked this question to Shay. We don't have time to do it now. We'll do it another day.
All right.
Eaten alive by a shark or mauled by a bear, by a grizzly bear. That was a Bill Simmons thing. I got to give him credit. But I saw it and I'm like, that's a great topic.
That is a good one. I've got an answer.
It's a good podcast topic, probably.
I think I'm with you next week.
I think it's mauled by a bear.
I think it's mauled by a bear.
Mauled by a bear?
Mauled by a bear. At least
if you get attacked
game.
By a shark, you might drown. I don't want to drown.
No. You want to be.
Just actually say that drowning is a fairly peaceful way to go.
I doubt it. Maybe if you're not being attacked by a shark at the same time.
That just can't be true.
I've heard it feels like you're on fire.
Drowning?
Yeah, like your lungs are like being lit on fire.
Hold your breath for a couple minutes. Let me know how it feels. Not great. Like, I can't imagine that gets better.
Wow. We play a game on this show. We don't have time for this either, called Funeral. Do you know that game?
I don't know Funeral.
We give you a name and ask if you'd go to their funeral. To someone in your life. So someday.
Oh, man. Yes, that's morbid.
It's fun. Anyway, Tracy Butler is going to stop and give us the weekend weather. We played it with her before. Yeah. We may spring it on her again. Next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
Tracy Butler brought to you by Shady Rays. She gets us the weekend weather. She'll tell us about Dallas. And I have a question for Tracy.
Oh, gosh.
Did you go to John Coleman's funeral?
Oh, my gosh. Would you stop?
Oh, God.
Why in the world are you? Why? This is what we're starting with?
Yeah.
Why?
Like a Ryan Shiverini, would you go to his?
Why?
Just asking.
But why do we have to discuss this? The weather is so beautiful. We're going to have a mainly nice weekend, and you want to start with this?
Just asking. It's called Funeral or No Funeral.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know we were I was not informed we were playing this game today.
A Megan Glaros.
Oh, my gosh. Would you stop? I can't believe you're saying all these people's names, and it makes me sad.
They're alive. You should be happy.
I know, but still... I don't want you to talk about them in that context.
A Baskerville? Steve
Would
Baskerville? Really
could,
nice guy.
Can Black and Abdallah get in here? I want to talk to them. Do I have to sit here with this? Oh, my gosh. Help.
How about an idler?
Me. Help John me. Idler. Okay. We have a beautiful day in store for us today. And, by the way, it's been pouring in Dallas. It's
really?
Been very wet around the Dallas area. Yes, it's
what
been
about
rainy.
Sunday?
Sunday looks great. Nice. Sunday will be kickoff, probably going to be about 66 degrees and sunny and dry.
66 so, and sunny
yeah,
and dry. Okay.
Yeah, looks good there. Looks good here. I mean, I know you don't like October. I don't know how you feel about November, but Cap, early next week, as we get into November, we may have some days that hit 70 around here. Here.
What's your bonus?
I know.
Take
it is a bonus.
We'll take those bonus days. So, November's my birthday month. So.
Oh, that's right.
Don't like the month.
Do we
but
have? You don't like the month. Why? Because it's your birthday?
No, because of the weather.
Oh, okay.
Give me June, July, August, September.
But look at this October. The Halloween is going to be wonderful. So for towns that have their trick-or-treat hours on Monday, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. Kids don't have to wear heavy coats under their costumes or on top of their costumes. So buy more candy. That's my advice, because there might be more kids out.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, no. No! No!
No, it's not one of those. What kind of candy do you give out at the Butler household?
Okay, so every year I make a treat bag, and you get 7 things in a treat bag.
What are
Whoa.
They?
Oh, Shay, are you coming over? Was that you?
That was Connor.
Oh, was that Connor?
That's
oh, that
me.
Was Connor! Connor,
that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Hi.
Come over.
7 things?
What do you give out?
Yeah,
7?
But it's...
That's
yeah,
awesome.
But it's like a bag of M&Ms. It's like a little bag of pretzels. You know, it's a lot of the miniature stuff, but I put 7 things in.
See, when I gave out the candy, my wife would buy the bags of the minis.
Yes.
And hand, you know, each kid got a, I'm like, that's so lame. You buy the king size Snickers bar, like the full size bars.
Okay, that must be a guy thing, because my husband does the same thing. So we end up sometimes giving out toward the end of the night, like a bag and a full size bar.
That's awesome.
So
yeah, I remember we went. I'm not a huge I never was a fan of Halloween. Not a big fan of it. But I remember going trick or treating, and this one lady would give out this little bag with pennies in it. I'm like, okay, how weak is that?
What about so Connor? Awful. What does he like? What does he give out?
You know, we don't have a lot of trick or treaters in the neighborhood. We've got the whole walk up situation going on.
Got it.
There's it's like a 9-year-old that lives in the building. So my wife was, you know, she's amazing. She gave the, you know, like a Halloween bucket, you know, down there with some candy and some toys and stuff. So she's got that to walk around the neighborhood with, that kind of thing. I've got a nephew now. He's like 2.5, and he just went to, have you guys heard about this? It's a trunk
or treat. Yes.
That's big. I never heard about these things. So I was FaceTiming with my brother and my sister-in-law and the nephew, and he's walking around in his little Cookie Monster costume at this trunk or treat, going up to the, you know, the trunks of these people's car, and they've got him decked out with like all kinds of like Halloween decorations, and one had like a facade of a house that was propped up underneath the hood or the trunk lift of the car. It was really, really cool. It was a very cool thing for little kids to run around. And, you know, you don't have to go around the whole neighborhood and, you know, the 2.5-year-old's not running a mile to get all the candy. It's just up and down the parking lot and you're good to go.
All right. We got to get to the Cap and J Hood Chicago Cut Steakhouse cut of the day. Try the burger for lunch. It is spectacular. Hand-packed. It is awesome. Here it is.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You know, locked-in nutrition thing. I'm almost 33 pounds down this way. 32, whatever. It's just stupid. And I got it over the summer, and I ate it, and I went, oh, my God, this is better than sex.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
That's right. Tomorrow, I get the cherry cream cheese coffee cake at the farmer's market up in Wisconsin. Ladies, they're not even open tomorrow, the stand. They're done for the year.
Yeah.
I called them. She's a school bus driver up in Oshkosh.
Okay.
She's baking 10 of them for me, an entire tray, packaging them. She goes, all you do is double Ziploc them. They'll go right in your freezer. You'll have these whenever you need them till we're back next spring.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm crushing it.
You're special.
How about, I'm paying for it.
I know, but she's still taking care of that's me. Really going out of her way.
Yes, I'm going to meet her and her husband. They're going to take care of it. Bam. I'm eating it tomorrow.
Take that.
Better than sex. Almost. Tracy, have a great weekend.
You too, guys.
All right, Connor. We'll see you, man. Thanks for filling
see
in.
See you, Cappy. You got it.
Be good. Black and Abdallah are next. Take that from Chicago.